Thank you for tuning in to the ReLove Podcast. We hope today's message encourages you.
How's everybody doing today? Doing good? Does God bless you this week? Church, before we go into the Word, I just want to say a word of prayer. God, I ask that you speak through me. I ask that you use me and mold my words so that they can speak to at least one person here in this building, God, or at least one viewer that is listening and watching us. We thank you for this day of rest. Thank you. In the name we pray, amen. So, have you, church members, church family, have you lost something before, something important, whether that is your car keys, your phone, your child? You know what I mean. Have you lost something important? If you've lost something important, can I get a mm-hmm? Okay. So I was gifted for this past Christmas. My girlfriend gifted me, I don't have my keys on me. Pick my keys up, pretend I have my keys. My girlfriend gifted me a tile. Do you guys know what the tile is? You guys know what the tile is? Oh, exactly, I need it right now. I don't even have my keys. Well, essentially, a tile. Do you have my keys? Thank you. This is my girlfriend, Lauren. Thank you so much. Can you throw it in? Thank you. Okay, this is great. This is a tile. Have you guys seen these before on somebody's keychain? Or you may have one yourself? Tiles? Okay, well, this is great. This is free product placement. Anyways. So the tile, it's on my keys, and what it does is it corresponds to an app on my phone. And with the app, I'm able to click with a button, and instantly, I don't have my phone. The tile, we're gonna have to use some imagination here, okay? The tile, when I click it on my phone or my device, it makes a sound. It makes a loud sound indicating that, I've lost my keys. And so I click it, and I'll be able to hear it wherever it's in the room near me, and it only works and it only responds when I'm nearby the tile. I know that it's nearby, and the app is like, okay, you can go ahead and click it. I'll put the sound on. So it helps me find my lost things, important things, such as my mode of transportation, my keys. Now, earlier this, we just started this new year. We kicked off our year with a fast. We had a really great message from Pastor Seth, who's not here but maybe watching. Hello, Pastor Seth. He had a great message about dreaming big, godly dreams. You guys remember that? It was a great message. Now, I want to ask, what happens whenever that dream is, those godly sized dreams, whatever those dreams are that you have, what happens when we lose touch with those dreams? What happens when those dreams, perhaps maybe that desired point of relationship to be with God, that close-knittedness that you've always wanted, say that's your dream. What if we lose touch? What if we lose that dream? What if we lose something that means so much to us? I'm going to use a word for this sermon that I have on time here. Can you guys say yearn for me? Yearn. And to yearn for something means to have an intense feeling of longing, typically something that has once been lost or been separated from. Yearn. So on this topic of yearn, I decided to turn to the story of Rahab. Now, throughout this whole chapter, it's a very simple, short chapter. You can follow along, just reach Joshua chapter 2. You can read its context, 1, 2, and 3. But I want to get into chapter 2 of Joshua. You get this very simple story of Rahab. And there's so many things to get out of this short chapter, I think, with just her character. There's so many things and so many messages that we can get out of. But I just want to hone down on this topic of that when we feel when we long, or when we simply want to turn to God, we're going to start to sense a change. And that's not just a change within our own selves, but we're going to see change in all ways. So when we yearn to return to God, despite what others say, despite what everyone says, as a result, all is transformed. So when we yearn to return, all is transformed, simply put. Can we say, when we yearn to return, all is transformed? Now, very briefly, as you're reading, or if you know this story, or if you don't, Rahab, the story of Rahab, it starts with somebody who we do not know. We don't hear so much about her. All we really know of this character is that she is a prostitute who ended up helping and crossed paths with Joshua's army's spies because she lives in the outskirts of Jericho's walls. And she crosses paths with these spies. And it was important because without her, these spies weren't able to infiltrate and these spies weren't able to get to the fall of Jericho. So she becomes a very important piece that kind of gets overlooked. So what happens when we wander off from God and return and we want to be with God? I want to say the first point is when we yearn to be with God, God is going to grant us more than we expect. You know, we say God, sometimes we say, oh, you know what, I'll meet you halfway, whether it's, hey, I'm here in Riverside and I'm trying to go to Garden Grove. I'll meet you halfway. You're Belinda. Or, you know what, in relationships, we got to meet halfway, right? But I'm going to say that, or you know what, no, even in tests, I know we have some students here, including myself, when we take some of our tests, sometimes we don't know if we're going to get the correct answer. Sometimes we do all the work, whether it's a chemistry or math problem. We do all the work, we show all the work, and we end up with an answer that we're not so sure of, but we get the paper back, and then we see that we were given partial credit. We were met halfway. Despite the wrongness of our answer, we were still met halfway. So when I was in high school, When I grew up in a household and where my influence to be a medical profession was very strong, it was very, the experiences I've had in the household were very interesting. I don't know if all the cultures are the same in that regard of trying to be in the medical field or pushing your kids out to be in the medical field, but that was how it was in my household. And I basically made a compromise before I left high school. I made a compromise with my parents in saying that, you know what, okay, I don't really want to do medical field, but I really love working with people. So I'll meet you halfway and I'll follow the profession of physical therapy. So I was set after high school. I got accepted to my school I wanted to in San Francisco. I applied, I had backup schools, didn't care, got accepted, but I got accepted to my dream school, which I've always wanted to, which was San Francisco State, and I was like, let's do this. We're gonna go all the way, because I feel like this is gonna be where God wants me to be. And so before I left, and I started going to church a little bit more often. I started being more involved. They started asking me things for the youth, and I was like, sure, why not? I started getting connected and more attached with the youth groups. I started leading out in worship, and I found a church community at that time. And so at this point, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm good with God. I'm great. I have a great relationship. I've been at this like spiritual connection that I've never been before. And so it makes sense. I'm going to go to physical therapy school, right? Thanks, God. You're meeting me halfway. I'm doing my part, and you're going to get me to San Francisco. Great. Things don't happen like that. God don't work like that sometimes. God sometimes has more than we expect. It turns out that my housing application was on a wait list, and I was number about 868 to get housing in summer. It was great. I was like, Mom, like, look, I'm on the wait list. And she was like, oh, good. What number are you? 868, Mom. okay, we'll just wait. You know, we'll see. Weeks go down. 4 weeks come. I go down to like 700. 3 weeks come. I'm like in the 300s. And then come to 1 week before I move in, I'm on the wait list and I'm still about 100 away. I'm at the number 100. And so now I'm starting to worry because I had just come back from a family vacation. My mom, my parents, we talked about was just, we were on set and we're like, okay, we're gonna move in. By the time we come back, you'll be set. Again, I was number 100 on the wait list. And so it came to a decision where my mom said, where are you going to go? Are you gonna go to your backup schools? Or are you gonna go to San Francisco State? If you go to San Francisco State, you're gonna have to live on your own. You're gonna have no community. And I started thinking to myself, no church community, because I don't know anybody there. I'm gonna have to work and I'm gonna have to do things that I wasn't mentally prepared for. But then I was like, let's just go to my backup schools. My backup schools were accepted, although I didn't pay the application fees after I got accepted. So word of advice to anyone who is applying to college, when you have backups, make sure you have those backups, not just after the acceptance, because turns out I could not be admitted into any of my backup schools despite myself being accepted. So it was a decision between going out the way and seeing potential struggle and unforeseen problems by living alone in San Francisco, or going to community college and also making my parents a little bit more happy because they know that they feel a little bit more safer. So I made the decision to go to community college. And it was there when I spent more time being more involved in church. I was able to have and grow more with my church community. I had more opportunities, and then I started having this love and passion that I didn't see coming. And so if it wasn't for me not going to San Francisco, I would not have been where I am today. I would not have been studying religion like today. I would not have been spending my Saturdays or Friday nights I would be spending my Saturday nights, Friday nights a little bit more differently, a lot more differently than how I spend them now. But there, an example. It's an example of when we yearn to be with God, despite what we think is going to happen, God is going to grant us more than we expect. So again, that was my point number one. Point number two, what happens when we wander off from God and return, but want to return and want to be with God? That's when a change in our hearts start to begin. That includes it's going to be including our behavior, our characters, our actions, our ideals, our morals, our humanity begins to change when we want to yearn with God. So when we're going to go back to Rahab. I'm going to start in verse 2, if you want to follow along. So the spies had went out. Again, we know nothing about Rahab. All we know is that she's this prostitute. She's this prostitute who lives on the outskirts of Jericho. And then we know that the spies, in verse 2, the spies are coming out and they're seeking refuge from they're seeking hiding to go into Jericho, and they see Rahab's house, and so they go to her. And so before we even go to that, before the spies even go in, a little bit more about Rahab. We just know that she is this prostitute, right? When, as a prostitute, even in those times and in certain other times, such as today, excuse me, someone in that profession would receive judgment, hate, shame in their own societal circles. Again, we may not be in that line of profession, but I know that we can relate to her in that extent. Church, have you ever felt judgment, hate, or shame in the circles around you? Can I get an amen if you have? We don't have to be in such professions to experience that. We don't have to be in that profession to feel what she had felt. Now, I don't want to say that when we're in those professions that it's only in those professions that we experience this negativity around us. Again, it's just for all. Wherever you are in your life, you're going to get these forces coming right at you. Now, what's really interesting is that I want to say that we should not let others' judgments get in the way with the walk of religion, with your walk in religion or your walk with God a little bit more seriously. Because after we take that first step in wanting to yearn to return, I believe that God will also give us that extra spark of confidence to accept and own up honestly where we are in our walk with God. So when we see Rahab, despite seeing the judgment, the hate, and the shame, such as ourselves, we see in the story that she is a believer. She's a believer. And we see that when the spies had come and they kind of give a little bit more context of who they are and what they're trying to do in the name of Joshua and what God has sent to Joshua and following God's plan in that, Rahab then professes and says that she's a firm believer. Her and her family believe that, you know, that this God, this amazing God that she's heard about in with Moses, and she hears stories. Her and her family hear stories of this amazing God moving. And so when she professes, we look at this and we read this and it's like, whoa, she's a believer. That's crazy. Because even despite all the hate and shame that she may have gotten, she was given that confidence to profess her faith, to profess that she is a believer. She was able to transform and go against that grain and professing God's love. And after I decided that I was going to go to community college and I stayed more with my church community, I realized there started to be a change within myself. And I wasn't the only one that realized it. My mom had realized it. My friends had saw it. And so like when I started listening to my regular music, I was like, whoa, I didn't notice those lyrics. Those are not nice lyrics. It's like I had this like sense of awareness. I like, huh, the things that I'm watching on Netflix, I just start thinking, I feel like this just awareness just came on me that like certain things that I'm doing, certain things that I'm listening or watching, I don't want it to be a part of my lifestyle. I don't want it to reflect who I am. And it's like, whoa, this is weird. I'm sensing a change. My mom has said it even too. So even within that small example, I was able to realize that, whoa, my humanity is beginning to change. So again, what the next point is, what happens when we wander off from God and return and want to be with God? Not only God is going to meet us more than halfway, God's going to give us more than we expect. Not only our inner selves will start to change, our humanity begins to change, but God is going to start to change your community. You know, to some, when you want that yearn to be with God, your community is going to begin to change. And to some, it's going to be bringing new people that is going to join you on your journey, to join you on your walk. But to some, that might mean that there are certain people in your community that have already been with you, and you're just starting to see the light that they're going to be there with you on your walk with God. You know, communities not will only emerge in this church we love, but those communities of love are going to emerge in this world. And by the way, community doesn't mean like a large group of people. It could just mean one or two other people that you're with. You know, so when Rahab was on her journey to yearn with God, and pop came these two spies that God had sent, they both helped each other out. Because the spies needed a place to stay. They needed a place to be hidden from the guards of Jericho, because the king of Jericho already knew that there were going to be spies coming, and so they started sending out some guards, finding where are these spies. And so they went, what Rahab did is, when the spies came, they told her what the plan and what they're going to do. They said, Rahab said, you know what, don't even worry about it. Come upstairs. I'll hide you. Let's go. So she hides them upstairs in their house, in their family house. And when the guards come, they say, they question and they ask, okay, we know that there are spies here. Have they come this way? Rahab says, yes, they have come this way. Although they went that way over yonder beyond the hills. Little did they know, they were like right above them. So they're probably hearing the whole thing. Oh, you could just picture this. This is just hilarious. Cause like they're like up there, they're probably fearing for everything, but like they're, oh, okay, yeah, they're over there. Like, okay, that's not how they sound, but you know what I mean. But so she leads them, she misleads them and says they're over there beyond the hills. So they leave and they come back down. The spies come back down and the spies tell Rahab, they thank her for being a part of God's plan, because now they have this key to regain their land, to move past Jericho over back to the promised land, right? And so now there is this sense of like camaraderie. What was interesting though is that after that interaction, Rahab had sent to them, please, when the army comes to overthrow Jericho, all I ask is that you keep myself and my family safe from all the war and all the things that are gonna happen. I just ask for your family's safety. So what God did right there, two things. God affirmed Rahab despite where she has been in her life, but God knows that Rahab's trying to make a new step, trying to make a new life, still trying to be with God. Despite all that, God is affirming Rahab that God is using Rahab. That's one thing. The second thing is that because the soldiers needed someone to trust to infiltrate the wall, and when I say the wall, I don't mean that wall. The soldiers needed someone to trust to infiltrate the wall, and God provided Rahab. So God was able to work for both hands, both people, both parties. In a way, we can say that the communities, like because of the profession, because God, Rahab is starting to yearn to return to God, we can say that those two communities were able to meet. Those two communities were able to emerge. They were able to help each other through God's miraculous plan, and they were able to both work for God's future plan. When I decided to pursue ministry, it was very difficult for me to understand that, wow, I'm going to be a religious studies major. I never had thought many years. You hear a lot of people in pulpits say that, like, oh, I never thought that I was going to be, you know, I'm one of those cases. Never thought that I was going to pursue ministry in knowing myself and knowing my past. Though when it was difficult because I knew that my social circles were going to shift. My social circles, my friends, and how they're going to interact with me, that's all going to change. That's all going to change, and I knew it. But despite growing up with these people that I thought were going to be my A1 since day ones, our lifestyles really did not connect. Again, I grew aware of the things that I was taking in from songs, media, whatever, and I was aware that this is not part of the lifestyle I want to follow. And so I started realizing that, yeah, we grew up, we were homies, but our lifestyles aren't really connecting. And I learned that a nostalgia cannot hold a relationship. But there was a change. God has already started to change my communities. For me, it was seeing the people around me, the people I did not think would mean importance to me as a relationship, as a friendship, started to shine up. The people who I overlooked started to be people who I can really trust and be honest about my faith and how I feel and what I've been going through. So again, when we yearn to return to God despite what everybody says, all is transformed. We go back to the first point. We become aware that God will meet us halfway, more than halfway, right? When we go back to Rahab, I just want to briefly highlight that she asked for the safety for her and her family after the taking of Jericho. But not only were they safe, when I say God is going to meet you more than halfway, God's going to give you way more than expected. Not only were they safe, but if we look in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, you're going to see Rahab's name in it. Oh, it just gives me chills. We're going to see Rahab's name because she continued the genealogy of what was come to be the Son of Man. And all she asked was to be safe from war, from battle, for her and her family's safety, and she received so much more. We said that when we yearn to return, we're going to change our inner humanity. Our inner humanity is going to be transformed. Rahab, despite her title to society, she has the confidence to still yearn to be with God and stand up to her faith. And the third, as a result, the community around us will change in process. So again, finally, when I talk about my own community of friends, it's still happening right now. I've only decided to pursue ministry about 2 years ago. And so my own personal friends, my own personal communities, they are still shifting and molding in ways that I still don't know how it's gonna look. But I read Rahab, and I am given hope. I'm given hope because I know that there is going to be community provided. I know that myself and my inner humanity is still beginning to change. And I know that God is going to meet me way more than half the way. So again, we talked about the tile. You guys remember the tile? Of course. What I didn't mention about the tile is that not only me, the subject, can click a button on the phone and the tile will be found, but if I click my tile, I did have my phone. If I click the tile, I can find my phone. So the object, oh mercy, the object can also find the subject. We have the accessibility to find the subject of all. Now, I just pray that wherever you are on your walk, whether it's your first step in wanting to take to yearn, whether it's you have built already this awareness that you are changing, your humanity and your character is beginning to change, or whether it's you're having struggle realizing that your community is beginning to change, and you're a little discomforted about it because you don't know what's going to happen to those so close because you decided to take your walk with God a little bit more seriously. Wherever you are on your walk, I pray for encouragement. I pray that you look into the story of Rahab because, again, when we yearn to return, all is transformed. Can we say that again? When we yearn to return, all is transformed. Church, I pray that wherever you are on your walk, you continue to keep your head up and know that the communities, even here in Real Love, communities can emerge from wherever you are and work and in your schools. And you're not alone in this. And I pray that you continue to be encouraged in every aspect of your life. Pray with me, please. God, I just want to thank you for the listening ears and the listening hearts that you've put in this church, these church pews, and also to the viewers online, God. I pray that there's a sense of peace and comfort knowing that wherever we are on our walk, God, we are going to be transformed when we yearn to return back to you, God. God, I pray that despite our human tendencies in worrying and having anxious and anxiety feelings of the future, that you calm our nerves and you calm our spirit, God, so that we can be focused and in tune with what you really have in store, because God, you give us more than we even expect. You meet us more than halfway, God, and I just thank you for showing that in the story of Rahab. And I pray that we take this spirit of encouragement, go past our church doors and going into the world, and hopefully being a part of other people's communities and where they can feel supported and where they can feel encouraged, God. God, I thank you for a beautiful congregation of people, of those who are diverse in wherever they stand with you, God. There may be people in here or watching that are completely doubtful in taking you in wanting to return, yearning to return, God. I pray that you continue to be with their walk. Know that they are loved and give them your touch of comfort, God. Embrace them as you've embraced characters such as Rahab, God. Thank you so much for the love that you've given us through your Son and through Scripture, God. I pray that we go out into this world and we share that same spirit of love that you've always given us, that grace that you continuously give us day by day, God. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.